Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, March 15th, 2023. Today, we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 67 in the chapter, How It Works, and we're going to unpack today paragraph 3. It begins with, notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties. And ends with, on the top of 68, with, it seems to cause more trouble. That single paragraph today, please. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Shay D, the 12 traditions, Patty F. Reading the text today in support is Betsy H, Sandy K, Kara L. Listen at the end of the meeting for our newcomer greeter and someone that will get names of sponsors for you. That's Christina M. And at the very end, listen for Lois P. to give some announcements on some things that are happening here at A Vision for You and coming up next month. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be Tuesday, March 14th, 2023, is 20050, 20,050. Then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, March 15th, 2023, Wednesday, 20052. 20,052. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I would like to ask Shay D. to please read those 12 steps of recovery.
Good morning, Shay D., recovering in California. Very grateful, and thank you so much for your service. The 12 steps. We admit, one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Shay D. from California. I will now ask Patty S. from Massachusetts to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Patty.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Patty S. from Massachusetts, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige spur us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty F. from Massachusetts. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Please use the star 1 key function only for muting purposes for technology, and please don't use speaker phones. It also interferes with technology as well. We appreciate that gesture very much. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, How It Works, on page 67, and we're going to focus our study today on paragraph 3 at the bottom of the page, and it begins with, notice that the word fear is bracketed and ends at the top of the page on 68 with, it seems to have caused more trouble. And what I would like to do is open up the meeting by asking Betsy H. to read that paragraph, describe what it means to her in terms of directions, and then we will open up to the rest of the fellowship here to share on that same paragraph. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning, Melanie. Thanks. I'm Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. Notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and the wife. This short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. I can definitely relate to this. I think I've been a specialist in fear most of my life. And someone pointed out to me is fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones. It's true. When I tend to have difficulties during the day, I go often to fear in my brain. And they say that fear can be also be called false evidence appearing real. But I used to be so fearful, I couldn't even hardly talk to people. I was so fearful of submitting an application for another job. I was so afraid. I was so afraid that I wouldn't be able to get through the day without eating my binge foods, without overeating. Food seems so big and important. I was afraid not to have it. I was afraid of everything. And it says here in this paragraph, too, that did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? I think they're talking about perhaps what we heard in the last paragraph about what is my part. You know, I can, when I'm in fear, it's because I'm trying to depend on myself. You know, I'm not depending on my higher power. And I'm also mostly thinking about myself. I'm not thinking as much about how can I be of service here. Because when I tend to think of how can I be of service, you know, I forget about my fears a lot more. So, you know, fear has been a big one. But the good thing is through working these steps while being abstinent, I don't have to live in fear like I used to. I used to just take over. You know, I could just start getting fearful about finances and I would just obsess over it again and again, or something would happen with my health and I would just get terrified about it. And it was awful. You know, it reduced my ability to be of service in the world because I was just thinking about myself so much. So the good thing is the 12 steps give us a way to clean up fear. You know, whatever, when these fears come up, I can do a 10-step on it. And then I don't have to be controlled by it. You know, I can move on and just have a better experience with the day and be more of service to people. So I think with that, I'm going to pass.
We can't hear you, Melanie.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that reminder. Hey, Betsy, thanks for opening up our discussion this morning by reading that paragraph. You'll find us on page 67, How It Works, in the Big Book, unpacking paragraph 3 today. And I'd like to open it up to the remainder of the fellowship here to be able to add their comments to that particular paragraph you would like. I'd like to take your first name, first letter of your last name, and perhaps your date as well. And I'd like to add this, we do value everyone's experience here, but we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experiences as well today. We have 176 people on the line and we'd like to be able to share the wealth. So I'm ready to take a few names for the lineup.
Eugene Oregon.
Well,
Pamela P. in Pennsylvania.
In South Africa.
I'm going to have some people start over, please, because the only people that I got was Pamela P., about fourth on the list. I got somebody from Eugene, Oregon, and I got that about second on the list.
Carolyn.
Kara L.
I'm going to listen for the folks from Eugene, Oregon first, please. Who's that one?
Mary Lee.
Hi, Mary Lee. Mary Lee, good morning to you. And I got Pamela, number four. So, Mary, you're two. And then I heard a familiar voice. Probably it sounded like Darian. Is that true? Did I hear
sure.
Darian?
Yeah.
Okay,
Darian.
I'm going to put you at
Carolyn
number three.
N.
Carolyn N.
Cynthia C.
Cynthia C. And I can take one more. And unfortunately, this person that came in last is going to be first. That works out that way. I'm so sorry.
Kara L.
Kara
Pamela
L.
Pamela P. responded yesterday. That's doubling up.
Oh, Pamela P. Shared yesterday. Is that true, Pamela? Did you share yesterday on the paragraph? We do ask that folks share every third day. So if that's the case, we're going to go with this lineup. Kara L.
No,
Mary
I did
Lee.
Not see yesterday. I did not see yesterday.
Perfect. Thanks for speaking up. I have Kara L., Mary Lee, Darian, Pamela, Carolyn, and Cynthia. That's our lineup today. If everyone else, please press star 1 on your phone keypad that came about on board here to be able to share. That will clear up the noise on the line. Kara, your 3 minutes begin right now.
Oh, thank you, Melanie. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Fear is bracketed alongside these difficulties. You know, and I didn't realize in my life how much I was motivated by fear, how much fear drove me to do things. You know, I just knew that I had to be perfect. I had to do everything well. And I had to manipulate so I wouldn't feel that fear. And I would manipulate with food. I would manipulate with people. I would manipulate with anything just so I didn't have to feel it. It was an evil and corroding thread throughout my life. And how did I get to see that? Well, I worked these steps. I had to put down the food, which was the comfort. I had to trust another individual to do as they did. And I worked these steps. And I got to see, you know, it was laid out for me. That inventory, that four-step inventory was so helpful because it just showed me, like, this right here is what's guiding your life. And today it's so different because today what's guiding my life is a power greater than myself. Today, that's where I get a turn. When the fear does crop up, I'm human. It does. And I do slip into wanting to control things and mull things over and fix things. And when I notice those things are happening, that's when I get to take the step back, pause, and say, okay, I might not see the truth. I might be looking into the future and I'm in fear. This is a good time to do an inventory. This is a good time to make an outreach call to help someone else. This is a good time to trust my higher power and to say, I don't know what I'm doing. Please give me an intuitive thought, inspiration, decision. I'm afraid. Please help me. And today I get to acknowledge the fear and I get to move through it and I get to have help from a power greater than myself. And I get to be a part of the fellowship that helps me do that. And I'm ever so grateful for that today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kara L. from California. Next up would be Mary Lee from Oregon, Mary Lee R. from Oregon, for 3 minutes, followed by Derek A.
Good morning. It's such a fear, you know, false evidence appearing real. The acronym that has opposed that for me or has enriched me is Face Everything and Recover. And I so appreciate the share just before me because she just said it very eloquently. My fear is not being able to speak so eloquently. And I have been recommitting, and I'm finishing my fourth and fifth step today with a new sponsor. And there's a part that is different for me, and that's, of course, well, that's in my part, and my part is putting myself in the shoes or in the person, place, or thing that I've been resenting and what they see in me. And that's been a whole new experience for me, and it really softens my heart. I've lately had a 2-hour hold on the Oregon DMV, and I started to really get frustrated, and I just stopped and said, okay, I choose to call my higher power my divine director, and my divine director is on the field and has my back. So I've done the footwork, and I am leaving the results up to something higher than me, and it is what it is. And it's been a long time since I've wanted to talk on this meeting. And thank you, Melanie, and thank you for all of you for being on here. And I pass.
Thank you, Mary Lee R. from Oregon. Good to hear you. Next up is Darian K., followed by Pamela P.
Oh, good morning, Melanie. Hope you can hear me okay.
Mm-hmm. Loud and clear.
Yes,
we're just
okay.
Coming.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. So yes, Darian K. from the Berkshires in Massachusetts, very, very, very snowy Berkshires. This is so good for me to to remember, to read, to realize today that every aspect of my life is touched by fear. I believe that with all my heart. Fear of speaking up, you know, and talking on a meeting, you know, probably would have crippled me to the point where I never shared or spoke up, because it's never easy. And if it comes from the heart, you know, I think that that's a hard thing to do. But thank you, God, I don't let that, you know, stop me from sharing. But there are so many other things that just seem like mountains to move, that fear, that makes it feel that way because of fear. I was part of a particular meeting, and somebody used to share a lot about how we outstretch our arms, and one way we can lean our body toward fear. And when we do, we lean further away from faith. And the other arm is toward faith. And when we lean toward faith, we lean further away from fear. And, you know, I have to remember that. I have to picture that. I like visuals. And I know for today, I need to lean into fear. Into faith. Because that's where I get the help. You know, I have to pray a lot. And they say prayer moves mountains, you know, it's a slogan, and I believe that, you know, because I can look back, and usually that's how I see things in the years in program, and I can see how fear would have held me back from certain situations, but I actually was able to get through them bit by bit, and big deals, you know, and it's amazing to me that that I survived, because when I'm full of fear, I feel like it's gonna crush me. You know, that's how incredibly difficult it can feel. And you know, I'm so glad that we can admit this too. You know, and that we don't have to be afraid that we're afraid, because that's, I think, a human quality of many of us. And you know, I think obviously we learn to be afraid of certain things, of touching a hot stove or walking, you know, in the middle of traffic. There's certain things that fear has helped us with, but then, you know, taking the plunge to do certain things in life that maybe will better our lives, or even the smallest things, like, you know, I want to learn to paint, you know, acrylic painting, and the canvas sits blank because I'm afraid of doing it wrong or not being able to do it, or wanting to do it perfectly. Thank you. And so, you know, a small thing like that, you know, nobody cares. but, you know, the fear can hold us back from doing beautiful things in life. So I'm just so grateful that I can look at this and grow and lean toward faith. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Darian Kay from Massachusetts. Next up is Pamela P. from Pennsylvania. Good morning to you.
Yes. Yes. So I share... Hello, I share on the 7 a.m. meeting yesterday. So is that a separate meeting?
I would say so, yeah. And I'll, oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, it is. We're two separate meetings.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a confusion. You know, I just want to be honest. Okay, hi. My name is Pamela P. from Pennsylvania. So, yeah, I'm not really fear. It like two major things that are baffling me in life. I decide, you know, I'm in a relationship. I'm in Pennsylvania in the mountain, and it's a different life for me. And I helping my boyfriend with his parents. Now, saying that, it do affect my recovery and my eating disorder. So being around his parents, being this different environment. I don't drive. I want to learn to drive because it would add independence to me. So I really heavily rely on my boyfriend to travel. And I mostly were a person that go out almost every day, several times a day when I live in New York. So it do affect me a lot. Also, I got PTSD from childhood abuse, being a pedophile ring, being in the Dell industry for 20-something, you know, over 24 years. So it's a lot of completely different. And the food is calling me a lot because it's a lot of numbness. So I don't know what I fear. I do hope one day me and my boyfriend do get married. I'm not really what into relationship and stuff, but I do fear if anything happened to him, what's going to happen to me. And so stuff like security and stuff, I always worry about. But I trust God, and God hadn't let me down one time, not even once. He my high power, Jesus. So I'm going to press on. Today I'm a little anxious because one of the few times that I'm alone, my boyfriend not around. And it's an awareness. It's like a freedom. And the freedom to food is deadly. So I'm just praying that I don't go crazy eating in between the meal. That's why I reach out to call. I have been at the media, I think, for a thing on March the 2nd. I keep dates. So anyway, I'm just praying to God. I'm saying, God, let me live life in between and don't eat in between the meal. And I just live for today. That always been my strategy as a little girl. Tomorrow will not promise. Yesterday, the past. And lots of people didn't make it today. So I just got to trust God. If I don't overeat with the food, I will definitely have a blessed day in every way. I pass.
Thank you, Pamela P. from Pennsylvania. Next up is Carolyn N., followed by Cynthia C. And then in 6 more minutes, we're going to open it up to the rest of the fellowship to comment. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, good morning. Carolyn N., compulsive eater from Michigan. I didn't realize how much fear that I had until I actually entered program about 4 months ago and started going through the steps. It was as if a layer or blinders came off my eyes. And I just realized how much fear was underneath so many things in my life. I before kind of prided myself in, thinking I was handing a lot of things to my higher power, but I realized I was just burying it. So in one way, I'm thankful that I see this fear now, even though feeling it is not a lot of fun. But I'm also very thankful for the tools given to be able to deal with that fear. And so every morning I try to ask my higher power if there is any fear I need to deal with, any resentments. And I just gave some away already this morning. So I'm just very thankful for the tools that we have, and to God for showing me what needs to be dealt with. Thank you for your service, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Carolyn. Next up, before we open up to the rest of the fellowship here, would be Cynthia C. Your 3 minutes.
Hi, thank you so much for your service, Melanie, for moderating the meeting. Thank you for everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. This is Cynthia C., I guess recovering compulsive overeater and food addict from Newton, Massachusetts, and I'm so grateful to be here today. I haven't been on this meeting in a really long time, haven't been able to get here, and today my schedule freed up. So I'm so grateful to hear the reading and to hear everybody's shares. I've gotten so much out of this. When I came back into the room 6 years ago and I found a vision for you right away, When I read this passage, it just like hit me in the gut. You know, that fear sort of underlies everything, and it steals from me. And it was this enormous truth that hit me in my life, just how deeply I had been caught up in fear in my life, and how it touched upon everything in my life. And I'm writing my 7th step. I'm working on the 7th step in another 12-step program, and the question that I answered today was, you know, what would you like to, I don't know, whatever, doing the writing on it, what it just occurred to me as I was writing it, it became so clear that how much, without even realizing it, I've been relying on my own self-will and trying to think about ways to figure it out and how I've been ruled by fear. And the question was, you know, what would you like to replace these character defects with? And I just realized for every one of those character defects, the answer really was a reliance on my higher power. The answer really is, you know, is that I can see how much I get caught up in fear and self-doubt and fear of what other people think of me, fear of everything, and that for every one of those character defects, what I want to replace it with is trust in my higher power, is trust and reliance, to be grounded and centered in my own true authentic self and my higher power, because my higher power speaks through me, is in me, you know, my higher power is not separate from me. I can just dig in and there is my higher power, and how, you know, I have this disease of forgetting, and I so deeply forget that. And this is a really hard week. This is a hard week for me. It's the 10th anniversary of my brother's suicide, and there's a whole bunch of other things going on this week that has been painful. But as I listen into my higher power and I listen into myself and I have cleaned up my food, I'm realizing
that would be time.
That I can ask for my needs to be met, and I can listen to my own true self because my higher power is guiding me. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Cynthia C. Okay, we're going to open it up to the rest of the fellowship to be able to share on paragraph 3, the bottom of the page of 67 in the chapter, How It Works. If you'd like to share, I'd like to get your first name, first letter of your last name, and your state, but also be mindful of the fact that if you've shared in the last 3 days, that you would maybe wait your turn for a couple more days, please. Okay, I'm ready.
Jen B. from California.
Jen B.
from Connecticut.
Rella R from Brooklyn. I'm so sorry. There's just so many coming in at the same time. I just interruption. I'm missing you guys. So, and I could take one more. It looks like.
Donna B.
That's probably who I. No, I did get Donna. Yes, I did Donna. You are second in line here.
Thank you.
I could take one more.
Third of A.
I didn't hear either any of those. I'm so sorry. Did I hear Susan A?
Yes.
Okay,
from
I got you.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
A. Thank you very much. Okay. This is what I have. Jen B, Donna B, Elanette, Rella R, Susan A. That would be the lineup so far. So if I could get Jen D to speak for 3 minutes.